Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Labor Day Monday here in the city. And I hope wherever you are and whatever you're doing, your labors are few on this day dedicated to the workers of this great land of ours. Welcome to the show. As you listen to us here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City, I'm Michael Hogue, your host. After, the last three, 4 days of unyielding heat, and there's been a lot of festivals around town, Santa Caligon out east, Irish Festival, Renaissance Festival, there was a Latino Festival in KCK, and probably other things I've missed as well. After unrelenting heat the last three or four days, it is now raining today. So if you're out at any of those festivals right now and it is raining, just think how much worse it could have been if it were a heat index of 99 degrees out there. But wherever you are, enjoy yourself on this day of perhaps fewer labors for you as we talk to you today. Well, lots of exciting events coming up. We had a lot this past weekend. More coming up this weekend. One of them is my personal favorite. The 17th annual Dance in the Park will be going on Saturday, September 12th. Still in beautiful Roanoke Park at a slightly different location. We'll have to explore that with my guest coming up. Dance in the Park. 17 years, some of the finest dance companies in this city gather together to dance beneath the stars or beneath the trees, wherever it happens to be, out in beautiful Roanoke Park. Here to tell us about it, Andrea Skovoronik. She is one of the artistic co-directors of City in Motion Dance Theater. And Anne Shaughnessy, who is the production director and helped put the show together. We'll hear the story of how she put the show together and the groups that she has put together for you to see on this Saturday, September 12th in Roanoke Park. But a slightly different location, Andrea. It'll be the first time in 17 years they've moved you to a different part of the park.
Yes. Well, it's not too far away from our traditional location. We had to move this year because the park is receding the grass. They're doing a little bit of construction in the area where we usually are. So the parks department warned us that we couldn't be in that spot, and they suggested another place. So we are down the hill from the Westport Roanoke Community Center, down past the soccer field, and it's next to the volleyball pit, and it's on the corner of Carnes Boulevard and Roanoke Road. And Roanoke Road is the old brick road that winds down through the park.
Some of the original brick from years ago in Kansas City.
Yeah.
They managed to preserve on that road. So you'll be driving on some original bricks from way back when.
Yeah, it's a beautiful area of the park. And people will still be able to bring their lawn chairs and their blankets and picnics. And they'll be sitting kind of up on the hill, so it's an amphitheater style, which could be great. I mean, we're kind of excited to have it in this spot.
A new location is always exciting.
Yes.
Inaugurated. It may be there just for 1 year. It may be for more than that. Do you know?
Well, the parks department said we could go back to our original place next year. So we'll kind of see how it goes and see what people think.
People might love this one a lot better.
They might.
They really might. Now, do you recommend still going the same way? 39th Street, Roanoke through the park. There's a way to get on Carnes Boulevard at the intersection of Southwest Traffic Way and Main.
You can come down through Coleman Highlands, too, on Carnes Boulevard, just to the west of Southwest Traffic Way. So there are a couple of different ways into the park.
Yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't be any harder to find. There'll be signs. There'll be people.
Yes, lots of signs.
There'll be parked cars.
Yes, there'll be volunteers pointing the way and helping with parking. And so I think it'll be really easy, I think.
Shouldn't be any more difficult to get down there.
Right.
17 years now, Anne Shaughnessy. you've been putting the show together for the last several years at least.
Yes, I think since 2010.
Yeah, is it always a difficult job every year?
It is, because we can only have about 10 or 11 groups, and so it's really hard to choose when also I want to present more than just one type of dance, so that also makes it harder.
So you have a formula in mind when you start off, right?
Yes, I like to showcase classical performing art style companies, so modern, ballet, sometimes we have jazz or tap, and then I like to feature ethnic and cultural dancing groups. And then I always try to find some sort of entertainment type dancing. This year we have swing and salsa.
Yeah, swing. So. Swing is always, the audience always responds very favorably towards the swing groups.
Yeah, they're always fun, especially if they do aerials and lifts.
Well, and sometimes when those salsa groups are on there, oh, that stage just warms up. I mean, I felt it. I felt the stage. It's really warm up there. It's hot.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have a lot of performers. I think 18 salsa dancers. Yeah, it's so it's going to be quite a show. Not just regular salsa dancing. I think it's more of a whole show.
Yeah, local dance companies in the genres of modern, ballet, swing, salsa, Irish, Mexican, Vietnamese, including a lion dance. Wow, a lion dance?
Yes, that's the Vietnamese group. I don't know if I'm going to say this right, the Phokian lion dance troupe.
Probably better than I would have done.
And, they're a group of Vietnamese youth, and I think they'll also be doing some traditional Vietnamese dancing. I'm not quite sure, but I know they're doing two different dances. So
that ought to be great. Yeah, there's always a lot of volunteers, Andrea, people, sponsors. They get ads in the program. You're very well supported. That's the only way you could have it be no cost to have this event.
Yes, it's a free concert, so it really encourages people who might not, you know, be able to come to a theatrical performance in a traditional theater with their whole family. That might be kind of expensive, but this way everybody can come out, the whole family. It is very well supported now. We do get some grants from the Neighborhood Tourist Development Fund and the Missouri Arts Council, but we also get a lot of businesses that sponsor us. We do have a program, so there are ads that can be placed in the program. And I just think every year, I think this event grows in terms of its, it's just beloved by the community. And
absolutely.
It's really very special. It's a great thing for City in Motion to connect with our neighbors and to produce this cultural event. It's really a treat.
Early on, several neighborhoods got together to help. I assume they still help.
Yes. It's the Coleman Highlands, Valentine Neighborhood, West Plaza, Roanoke, and
Volker Park.
And Volker.
Yeah.
Yes.
They provide a lot of the volunteer people that need it.
Yes. We have a volunteer coordinator, June Holte, who helps coordinate. We even have people helping get the stage going. It's a professional stage company, but volunteers are still needed to help them. We have volunteers who pass out the programs. We're going to have recycling volunteers this year, people bringing their own recycling bins and then helping to recycle to leave the park clean. There's just really an array of things to do. And if anyone would like to help, there are still spots available. We do still need volunteers, and they can call the City in Motion number, which is 816-561-2882, and we'll get them hooked up with our volunteer coordinator.
I'm sure they'll find plenty for you to do. Plus, you'll get to see the show. You'll get to meet some of the dancers as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Added plus on that. Now, I assume, Ann, you're going to go ahead and have your U.S. feature class at about 6:30 before the regular show starts around 7. Are you going to have that this year?
Yes, this year we'll have the Driscoll Irish School of Dance.
Well, Irish
giving
year,
the class, So for children and adults alike.
We've learned tap. We've learned hip hop. Now we're going to learn some Irish. Like a jig, is that?
Well, I'm not sure what she plans on teaching, but I know she's a great teacher. So.
Well, those of us who have some Irish heritage in our blood, especially if you saw somebody named Shaughnessy, that should be really an attractive thing to do.
Yep, this should be pretty popular.
So that'll last from 6:30 to about, usually about 10 till 7. something like that. And then we get ready for the main part of the show. So let's get into the lineup. And the time we have, we've talked away almost 13 minutes already. let's get to it. Who have you picked to go?
Okay, well, first we'll start off with the Kansas City Ballet Second Company. They performed with us once before, so they're coming back. And the director, Anthony Kretzkamp, describes it as an emerging professionals program. So it's kind of like a stepping stone before they would dance with the Kansas City Ballet, for example. And they also have a trainee program for the Kansas City Ballet, and those trainees will also be dancing with the Second Company.
Oh, cool. Very good. To have a professional group like that. It's their second company, but still.
Yeah, they're still very professional. I mean, they might as well be professional.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing a piece by Anthony called Click, and more of a modern piece compared to the other one, which is very traditional. An excerpt from Don Quixote.
Sure. When Devin Carney was on the show recently, he said he wanted to showcase them a little more in the years coming up.
Yeah.
This is one place where you can see them.
Yeah, I think they're always looking for opportunities to for them to dance.
Sure, sure. Dance in the Park just fits their bill just perfectly. Well, who else did you pick?
Okay, so next we'll have the Children's Dance Theater and Apprentice Company, which Andrea directs, so she can tell us more about that.
No, what do you have them doing this year?
The Children's Dance Theater, that's our younger group of students. They're going to be doing excerpts from a piece of mine called Songs for Unusual Creatures. And then the Apprentice Company will be doing a piece by Dale Fallon called The Tyndall Effect. And it's very colorful and abstract choreography. So, it's a great opportunity for the students from City in Motion to perform in front of a big audience. And it's great to have some kids on the program, of course.
Oh, bet. Yeah, just think, if you were that age, appearing on a big stage like this.
Yeah.
Lit like it will be. You've got to feel like $1 million down there on that stage.
It's a great opportunity for them, definitely.
Yeah, very excited. A way to kick off what they might do in future years.
Absolutely. Perhaps.
Yeah, it's an impressive stage. Well, after it gets dark, and probably at 7 it won't be dark yet, but once it gets dark and everything is all lit up, especially in Roanoke Park, folks, where you have, well, you're in the heart of Midtown, but with all the trees, sheltering the sound and the lights from downtown, it's like you're in the middle of a forest.
Yes.
Yeah. How exciting that will be for them to get up on the stage.
Oh, yeah, they're very excited. We're rehearsing hard.
I'll bet. but well worth the effort. Tell them that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Who would be next?
So after that, we have a new company called Defy Dance Project, run by Haley Costas. And it's also kind of a pre-professional company that's a bridge for modern dancers. And so they'll be doing two pieces that she describes as captivating and storytelling. So they are also very professional.
Great.
And they are fairly new, I think just this year, but I'm not positive.
This is their first time then on Dance in the Park?
Oh, yeah, for sure, with Dance in the Park, yes.
Yeah. Were they one of the people that were after you to get them on the bill?
They did contact me.
You know you're doing well when they contact you, and you don't have to reach out to contact them.
That's true. It makes my job easier.
Well, sure does. Who else?
So then following that will be the Driscoll School of Irish Dance. And she has a company of dancers called the Driscoll Dancers, and she also has a school. And I think that she'll be having performers from both groups. They're going to be doing three different pieces. They'll be doing a soft shoe type of dance as well as hard shoe dancing.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for the hard shoe dancing because we haven't, the last time they performed with us, they only did soft shoe because I think we were concerned about the floor, but we've kind of thought about it again.
We do have the special, what is it called again? I did know.
The Marley floor.
Marley.
It's a Marley floor. So we definitely don't want it scratched, but I found out that those hard shoes are not, they don't have anything metal on the bottom, so I think it'll be fine. And the floor is a bit older now, so.
is it your Marley floor? Does City in Motion own it?
Yes.
Well, you want to keep it in good shape, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I could add, do we have time?
Hard shoe and soft shoe, a brief explanation. A lot of people probably don't know what that is.
Well, the soft shoe is more like a ballet shoe. It's a soft slipper.
Sure.
And then the hard shoe might be like clogging or tap shoes.
Gotcha.
It's got kind of a heavy block on the bottom that they make that sound with. It kind of sounds like a battle.
So even on the Marley floor, you're going to hear that clip-clop?
Oh, yeah, we'll hear it. And I think they have plenty of dancers, too, for this show.
Oh, yeah.
There's actually fairly large groups during this show.
That's what we want. Bigger and better. Well, after your fellow Irishman, who are you going to have?
After that, we'll have the Fohian Lion Dance Troupe finish out, and they will hopefully, if it's still light enough, they'll be able to, and if we can have kind of a pathway, they usually go down into the audience, so I'm sure the kids will be really excited to be able to touch their costume and see them up close.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're really exciting young group, so full of energy.
I'll bet so. Yeah. Kind of a native, we called it a lion dance, but kind of patterned after the animal, kind of themed with an animal.
Well, I mean, they will have those big lion costumes where several people are underneath them. They perform at a lot of, like, store openings, Chinese New Year celebrations, festivals and events, because the lion, they say, is a symbol of power, wisdom, and good fortune, chases away evil spirits, and brings happiness, longevity, and good luck.
Yeah, if the lion isn't in the wild and looking for you. Okay. What else?
Well, then we'll have intermission.
Okay.
So.
Which is a good time, of course, to sign up for classes, which City in Motion also has.
Yes, we will have a table at the back of the crowd with schedules of our for our school of dance. We have classes for adults and children, and our fall session just started, but it's not too late. It's never too late to sign up.
They call the same number we gave out for volunteers. Is that the number you want? 816-561-2882, or you can go online, and so many people go online these days, cityinmotion.org. You can probably check out all the classes you have available.
Yes, everything's online.
Yeah, they're in the modern world.
We are.
They really are. So there'll be time for hitting the concession stand.
Yes, there will be treats. We're not allowed to sell anything in the park, but we can take a donation for goodies. So yes, people will be able to buy treats as well as bring their own picnic baskets.
And donation as well as the sponsors in your program. That's the way the dance event is financially supported.
Yes, and we also pass baskets at intermission. So the performance is free, but if people have a few dollars that they'd like to contribute, it all goes to this production. So often people like to give us a few dollars.
Yes, yeah, so they'll have cute children going to the audience.
We will.
You won't be able to say no. Just warning. Okay. Then after about 15 minutes, it's back to the dance. It'll be darker then.
Yeah, we're hoping that it will be because our opening group is Danza Mexica Capuli Escali, and it is a indigenous Mexican dancing group, and so very ritualistic. They're going to have some sort of fire or candle.
I like fire. you know from the past, I like fire. I like to watch people with objects that are on fire. I don't like to watch actual fire.
Yeah, so it won't be like performing with fire, but it'll be kind of to set the stage. It'll be in front there to kind of set the scene. And so they'll be doing three different pieces, one called Sacred Chant, the next one's called New Fire, and the last one is called The Eagle and the Serpent. So very traditional. They'll be
Are these based on stories from Latino culture?
Yeah, like the, for example, the eagle and the serpent is the symbol on the Mexican flag.
Uh-huh.
And so she has that. She actually gave me a description, if I can find it here. It's they're all very ceremonial performances.
Well, but it's based on stories, probably passed down from their culture. And,
oh yeah, here it is. I'm sorry. It, the joining of two views of the world, one being the eagle and one being the serpent.
Sure, and it's on the Mexican flag for all to see.
Yeah, I mean, there's I'm sure there's a whole story that. With a lot more details than I'm saying. But.
They can ask when they come to the event. I'm sure one of the dancers will be happy to explain it all to them.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, Arelis Flores is the director. So, and she's been very, I mean, she's told me a whole lot about it, which I wish I could remember. But.
And I'm sure she will be happy to answer any questions that any of you folks have about it while she's there. That sounds very interesting. What else after that? The acts just keep getting better all the time.
So after that, we'll have City in Motion, and Andrea is doing the piece called Tribe.
Yeah, we'll have four dancers from the professional dance company of City in Motion performing my piece, Tribe. It premiered in May at our Union Station concert, and it's an abstract piece to a percussion score by Glenn Kottke. He is the drummer from Wilco, and he's also a classically trained drummer, so I just love this percussion score. So it's very rhythmic, it's very physical, it's a 10-minute piece in two sections. It has a lot of connections between the dancers and lots of floor patterns.
Sure. Well, a tribe is a community.
Yes.
So do they work in conjunction?
Yes. I really feel that dancers are almost a tribe of their own. And when you work with dancers or any artists, you know, it's that collaborative process. You become very close and supportive of one another. So that's what this piece is about.
Well, that's good for people working together. It's one of the things we have to strive for.
Yes.
We really do. Okay, Ann, what do you have planned next? We're getting towards the big finale. I'm looking ahead. Don't tell me now. The finale is always
interesting. Yes. Well, first we'll have another new modern company called Heartlines Dance Company. Very new, I'm thinking this year also, but for sure new for Dance in the Park. They're run by two sisters, Stephanie and Andy. And it's a modern contemporary style. They'll be doing two different pieces. I think they have kind of a small group right now. There will be five dancers. But they say that it provides Kansas City and surrounding areas with artistic, relatable, and current contemporary dance showcased in professional concert setting. In addition to cultivating professional dancers and bringing raw, real, and riveting dance to Kansas City, Heartlines Dance Company fosters community activity through instruction, education, performance, and interactive programming.
Yeah.
So they have a kind of a big vision.
Sure. Yeah, well, might as well think big. Thinking small is not going to do you any good. Might as well think big.
So, and then after that, we'll have the salsa group called KC Touch.
Stay back from the stage if you don't like to eat.
I think that there'll be 18 dancers, so it'll be really hot. But there's actually an organization called Island Touch Dance Academy, and they have several satellite dance companies throughout the world, actually. And so this is one of them. It's called KC Touch, and it was founded by Josh Hernandez a few years ago. And so they perform choreography from the Island Touch Academy as well as their own.
Yeah. Original is always great, just to see what people come up with, as Andrea knows.
She
does her own choreography as well for her shows. And are we near the end now?
So after that, we will have the last group, which will be our swing group.
Uh-huh.
They're always a fun one to end with. And they are new, too. We have so many new groups this year. They are called 627 Stomp, run by Alan Akers and Amanda Bernice. And there'll be three couples, I think, but they're going to be doing three different dances. One is kind of like a line dance where they all do the same thing, called the Trinky Do. And then they will be doing Putting on the Ritz, which is a classic, and of course. And then they'll finish with a dance called the California Routine, which I'm guessing usually the swing groups, they end with a jam session where the couples kind of just get out there one by one and kind of show off their tricks and their specialties.
Kind of free form it. Anything could happen when free form is going on.
Yeah, there were some, I mean, I'm sure they'll have some aerials on the list. I mean,
aerials?
It's just expected.
Wow, aerials. That's expected.
If they don't, they better start working on it.
you hint to them, I want to see some, I'd really love to see some aerials.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But they're also going to be wearing all vintage clothing, which will be neat to see.
Ought to be really cool. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you've topped yourself again.
Well, I hope it's a great show.
Rehearsals, all the groups are individually rehearsing. Do they come together for a rehearsal?
No, they always rehearse individually. Mm-hmm. But the tech rehearsals that we hold the night before are just for that group only.
Yeah. Well, it's all going to happen this Saturday night, September 12th, in Roanoke Park, just slightly down the street. It's like Roanoke Boulevard as it goes mm-hmm. through. It's still called Roanoke.
It's Roanoke Road and Carnes Boulevard, and Carnes right on Boulevard. The corner of that mm-hmm. intersection.
So it's just a little further north down the street.
Same
still on that
area.
Brick road, you know, historic brick from the early days of Kansas City when all the roads were brick.
Yeah.
They managed to preserve that particular brick to drive on. And it'll happen Saturday night with the class, if you're interested in the class. It'll be Irish dance then at 6:30 p.m. for the class. And then at 7 o'clock, it all gets underway for the big show. Yeah, it's always such a beautiful sight, as I said earlier. You're in the heart of Midtown, and those trees, well, they're older. There's some of the oldest mm-hmm. trees probably
some
in the city.
Some of them are 100 years old.
Yeah. They're big, they're thick, shuts out the lights from downtown and Midtown, and also the traffic from Southwest Boulevard, mm-hmm. which is not far away. It's like you're in the middle of the woods somewhere, watching dancers perform, you know, and do aerials in the air and things like
it's
that.
It's a very magical event.
It's a very magical event. Class at 6:30, performance at 7. More about the show can be found out at cityinmotion.org. If you're interested in volunteering or want other information, you have to call their number. They'll probably get a recording, but someone will get back to them.
Yes, but someone will get right back to them and we'll get you set up.
816-561-2882. Kind of a collaboration of lots of groups.
And you can also go to our Facebook page and learn more about the companies. I've been posting, a lot of the companies have their own Facebook pages, so I've been posting the links there, so you can go and discover more about them.
Are you going to tweet during the show?
You know, we do have a Twitter account, but I don't manage to put very many tweets out, but I'll try.
Okay. Anne's pretty busy during the show.
And if any of you want to tweet
on your that might
pages,
kind of
that is welcome.
Get me in the habit of it.
That would be well, great having you both with us.
Thank you for
sounds
having
like it's going to be a great event. It's the 17th annual Dance in the Park this coming Saturday, September 12th. Beautiful Roanoke Park. 10 different dance groups. Many different styles of dance. There just will be something that you really enjoy. And who knows? You may enjoy every single one.
Yes.
Slightly different location if you've been there before. A little further north down Roanoke. But all of the signs will be there. And people pointing the way. And it ought to be just great. This Saturday in Roanoke Park. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Andrea Skovoronik, one of the artistic co-directors of City in Motion Dance Theater, and Ann Shaughnessy, the production director, put it all together. For people that are interested next year, so they contact you right away, or do you want a respite?
They can. They can email me at kcdanceinthepark@gmail.com. And it's always helpful if they send a video as well.
Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing it this coming Saturday night. We're going to take a break. When we return, we've had Shakespeare on the stage. I've had interviews of Shakespeare in the park. But now, I'm going to talk about Shakespeare in the parking lot with the Alcott Arts Center. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. I mean, we're all over it. No doubt about that. Well, welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. As I said before the break, this year I've covered Shakespeare on stage. Several projects of that. We had Shakespeare in the park, right by the Nelson. And now we're going to have Shakespeare in the parking lot, which is not a new thing. It's happened before for several years now.
Eight
years now, Chris?
Yes, it is. 8 years.
Yeah. And here to tell us all about that is, in fact, Chris Green, the executive director of the Alcott Arts Center. And that's quite a story within itself, too. And with her, Susan Proctor, PhD Susan Proctor from Rutgers University, the head of the theater program over there, put it all together with all those young people putting together a show. Got to be a big job.
It's a big job.
It's a big job. Sure it is. Well, Chris, you have coming up this beginning this Saturday, September 12th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Love's Labor's Lost, Shakespeare in your parking lot.
We do, and it's rain or shine. If it does rain, you know, we will take it inside, but be prepared to be outside. The weather is supposed to be beautiful this coming week. It's not supposed to be hot.
Oh, that would be great.
It'll be very nice to be outside, and it'd be very comfortable for us to be out there.
Yeah, how long have you been doing? Well, I already asked you that.
That's right, 8 years. Uh-huh. This is our eighth season of Shakespeare.
Been very well received.
We do, and, you know, the Shakespeare in the parking lot, you know, we get a lot of laughs out of that little title and everything, but, you know, it carries us, and people, it piques their interest enough to come see the show and go, oh, in the parking lot. Okay, great.
In the times that I've been over to Alcott, you also have an art gallery artist featured as
well. We do. This month's artist is Ramona Sheely, and she does some collages that are very unique with found objects, but also painting and metalwood, all of that.
The actors that work with you over there, were they anxious to do a Shakespeare production outside? Especially, you've probably been rehearsing them in this hot weather.
Oh, yeah. We've been outside in the heat.
How is that? How's that going?
It's going really well. Luckily, we do have the inside when we need it. But we try to work outside, and we work evenings a lot. So when we get to the point that we can't see each other anymore, we go back inside.
Sure. Now, you chose Love's Labor's Lost by William Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
Why that particular show? Is there a theme to it?
Well, there are many, many layers in the play. One of the reasons I chose it is it's not done very often.
Uh-huh.
And yet it has some of the best roles for women that Shakespeare has written. So I love to do it, and usually in small theaters you have more women involved in a play anyway, so why not give them better roles? It's one of his early plays, and it's incredibly dense. It's every character, even the very silly comic ones, have many, many layers to their roles. So it's fun.
Everything isn't always as it appears.
Right.
Sometimes a character who acts rather foolish actually has something, well, they have an agenda sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it is. When Shakespeare wrote plays like this, he was writing it for the upper class, maybe even paid by royalty, for instance, to do the show. But the lower class seemed to get a lot out of it as well.
They did.
They tend to make fun of the upper class.
They definitely do. And in this one, very much so.
What was the audition process like? You have people from all kinds of backgrounds, probably some who had never done Shakespeare before.
We do. We have a couple who have never done Shakespeare. The interesting thing about Shakespeare in the parking lot, people come from all over the metro area because you don't have that many opportunities to do Shakespeare. So we have some people whose resumes are pretty long, mostly Shakespeare or period work.
Wow.
And then some who are very young and just getting started.
I remember the first time I did Shakespeare, and it was as far back as high school, but I remember just looking at the dialogue, I thought, how am I going to learn all of this? But things tended to flow together. Mm-hmm. What do you tell your actors when they look at that and they're a little afraid?
Right. Usually I remind them that the rhyme and the rhythm will actually help them learn the lines more easily than if it were straight. And also make sure that they actually know what they're saying. Because once you know what you're saying, and sometimes that's difficult with Shakespeare, once you know what you're saying, then you just tell the story, and his language fits into an American or an English mouth very nicely. So it's not as hard as it appears to be.
Yeah. So everyone is confident now in their ability to traverse these grounds?
I think so.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. For those who don't know the story of Love's Labor's Lost, just a brief synopsis. I know we could talk about the plot probably for the rest of the show.
Okay, briefly, we have a king who has, it seems, taken his mantle very late in his life, still unmarried, not very bright, who gets together with three of his cronies and makes a vow that for 3 years they're going to study, fast, not sleep very much, and not speak to women.
Okay.
So they make the vow, and immediately the Princess of France and her three ladies' maids come for a political emissary. So the vow is already broken because he has to meet with her. Immediately they fall in love, and then the story becomes complicated. So we have that group of people. We also have a group of people who are in the court, a young man from Spain who is essentially the fool in this play, who falls in love with a commoner, but he's trying to keep his oath and not very successful at it. And then we have the commoners. We have a policeman, a priest, and a teacher. We have a village worker and a village wench who don't fast, who don't give up sleep, who see each other all the time, and make fun of everybody else.
That's true. So here we have an example of someone at the top, not very bright. The common people are always the most wise of all.
Right.
Kind of sounds like real life sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes. There's one other thing in this play that I think is really, I think it goes through a lot of Shakespeare, but it seems very dense in this one, and that's the fact that language is also a character. There are 18 people in the show, and 18 letters are exchanged.
Oh.
So everything is on paper at one point.
Sure. How long does the play last? Is it a couple of hours?
It's probably about 2.5.
Yeah.
With intermission, yeah.
Well, you're lucky. It's going to be a little bit cooler coming up.
Yeah.
Full costumes?
Full Elizabethan costumes.
My.
And they're fabulous. They've been working really hard on those, so we're very excited.
Do you want to give credit to the costume person? Even if it's you.
It's Susan and I and Paula.
And Paula Pearson.
Paula Pearson.
Ah,
mm-hmm.
Great.
She works with me at Rockhurst and in many of the other theaters around town as a props mistress.
See, even that is a lot of work there. Just as much work as the people on stage.
Probably.
Yeah. So it's going to start in the afternoon. I guess they're all in the afternoon.
Yes.
On September the 12th at 3 o'clock p.m., followed by a performance the next afternoon, Sunday the 13th. 3 o'clock p.m. Then we jump to Saturday the 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. and finish off on Sunday the 20th at 3 o'clock p.m. All at the Alcott Arts Center, which is located at 180 South 18th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. And if you MapQuest things, 66102.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's $5 admission, and with also non-perishable food items for our local food pantry. It is called the Center of Hope, and they've been around as long as we have. We all started at the same time, so we kind of, that they're in our community, and we help support them as much as we can.
I think they need to know your website then, alcottartscenter.org.
Yes.
You could read about what's going on now, what has previously gone on. You're also on Facebook, I noticed.
We are, and if you would go to our Keeping the Arts at the Alcott, Keeping the Arts Growing at the Alcott Arts Center, number 2, friend us on that and follow us there, but then like us and follow us on the Alcott Arts Center Facebook. We have two different ones.
Yes. Chris wants you to like them.
Thanks.
They like you.
Yes, we do. We do.
Of course they do. Of course. There's also a number you can call, 913-233-ARTS. And that translates, of course, to 2787, if you need all the numbers on there. For, to talk to the Alcott Arts Center about all the events that they have coming up. How long have you been with Alcott and trying to keep things going, Chris?
From the beginning, Chuck and I, we are co-founders along with Tim and Debbie Schlegel. They all have been 14 years when we started out, so we're just moving on.
Did you ever get that boiler?
No, actually, but we now have a matching funds of $25,000, so we have to match that, and that will go towards our boiler so that we can be able to do all of our programming all year long instead of just having our short window of April till October.
Sure, and does the admission to the show count towards that $25,000?
No, actually, it just goes towards what's happening right now. We're still working, going to have fundraisers for that.
Yeah, you have a variety of things there. You have artists on display.
We do.
You had a group doing Shakespeare from out of town in the last few weeks.
We did. The Lord Mayor's Company was in, and they did a little promo for us because one of their actors is in our show. So it was kind of nice that they came in and did a promo for us and got people interested in coming to see the show.
They have music acts there. Send out music acts.
Yes. Yes, we do. We are having we are in the works of trying to get it going, a rock concert on Halloween after all the kids are done and everything, because we do trick-or-treat at the Alcott.
That's right. So you have an event on Halloween anyway.
We do. So after we get the kids out of there at 8:30, then the concert's going to start at 9 o'clock and run till midnight.
Yeah.
And it's a fundraiser also.
Well, that sounds exciting. So
you can find more on our website and everything or on Facebook.
AlcottArtsCenter.org. It's a 501c3.
Yes.
So you can donate to them if you itemize. I hope you people understand that. If you itemize, it's deductible on your income tax return.
Yes.
The Alcott Arts Center, again, is at 180 South 18th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. For those who have no idea, briefly, you get off I-70 at 18th Street and you go north?
You go north one block and turn left.
Okay.
At the Pacific Cross Street.
Yeah.
And we're right there on the corner.
It's on the west side of the road. It used to be a school. I guess it was the Alcott School.
It did.
And Kansas City, Kansas used to name their schools after writers.
Writers, presidents, you name it. It seemed like everybody was named school.
And yes, it is named after Louisa May Alcott. She was a famous writer.
She was.
And as Chuck once pointed out to me, never set foot inside the Alcott Center.
No, we wish. Darn, we wish. But it wasn't even around then. But we love it. We love everything we do at the Alcott.
Well, Susan Proctor, again, the director, and the theater department head of drama at Rockhurst University.
Yes.
So you stepped away from the academia to Alcott. What do you see in some of these people that you're directing in this show? Are they going to be good one day, if not now?
Well, I think some of them are really good right now.
yes.
And we have everyone from age, I think Dakota's 14 through probably the oldest is in his 60s, and every age in between. So some college students, some graduates, all over the place.
Oh, sure. How do you go about directing Shakespeare? Do you work with them on the language first?
A little bit. Most on the language first, and then we get up and move around. And helping them understand how physical Shakespeare can be is really the most fun. And then once they get that, they're off.
Well, it worked with me anyway, and maybe I'm an exception. But once I got in the garb, I feel the character.
Right.
So that really gets me into it even more than I was during the rehearsal.
Oh, yes.
Do you find that with some of the ones that don't have a whole lot of experience?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope no one's doing their first play and doing Shakespeare. That would really be difficult. I don't think so.
I think they've all done it.
I think they've all.
Yeah. That would be quite an inauguration to do that. Yeah. Is this one of the more difficult shows to do? It was one of his early ones.
It's one of his early ones. I don't know if it's one of the more difficult ones. It may be because it's less well-known.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that we have to be a little clearer for the audience.
He had his comedies, his tragedies, and his historical dramas. Where would you put this one?
This is a comedy with an unusual ending.
Okay. Don't want to give anything away. He is often known for his shows of mistaken identity and things of that nature. Does that happen in
There's
this one?
There's no mistaken identity, although I did talk about letters being passed around.
Okay. So we will, I think I know what you mean, but I don't say anything more about that. Yeah, he had his little patterns of things. I remember one particular show, and I'm not remembering which one it was, but I was in, and there were twins in the show, and they were supposed to be identical twins. One was a 37-year-old woman, and one was a 14-year-old boy, but they were dressed alike, and they did sort of resemble each other.
Exactly. That's the secret, as long as you're dressed alike.
And all of us characters, you know, we would mistake one for the other.
That's right.
The audience found that very humorous. It's the one with Sir Toby Belch.
Right.
In it.
That 12th Night.
12th, yeah. That's the one. Yeah, that's right. Speaking with Susan Proctor, the director of the show at the Alcott Arts Center, and Chris Green, the executive director of Alcott Arts Center. What do you have coming up in conjunction with the Shakespeare or after the Shakespeare?
Afterwards, we have, October 10th, we are doing Lifelines, and it's we are working with the Vala Gallery, and it will be it's for Domestic Violence Month. And there will be several artists and performers, plus it will be a fundraiser for the Joyce H. Williams Battered Women's Shelter in KCK and for the Alcott Art Center.
Yeah, you're doing things like that. Is that part of your mission at Alcott?
Maybe more of our personal mission. Everybody has to be aware.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's an interesting story. I know we don't have the time to go in all of it, but you're there. You came upon this building, and it was your job to get it going again.
And we do. We have the arts and crafts classes. We do the theater. We're always featuring artists in the galleries from all over. Sometimes we do first-time exhibits for artists, and just to let them get their feet wet to know what it's like to have an exhibit, what's expected of them when they do an exhibit, and so that they're prepared to go on to that next step, you know.
If an aspiring artist is listening, and I know they do,
right,
how would they get a hold of you to perhaps have a show of their own or be included in what you're doing over there?
Go to our website or contact us on Facebook, either one, and we can definitely set up a meeting and talk more and look at their artwork, see what they're like, and schedule the show.
Yeah, well, anything else, Susan, you want to say about doing Shakespeare?
Well, I love to do Shakespeare.
I'll bet you do.
It's one of my favorites. And this is my second time at Alcott Arts, and I just loved working with them so much the first time that I couldn't wait to get started on this one.
And she threw her hat in the ring last year's show. So that was really nice that she said, I would like to do this. And we were so excited to start working with her then to decide what was going to happen.
Does throwing a hat in the ring mean you also appear ever on occasion?
No.
No? No? Did you ever?
Oh, I did.
I
was an actress most of my life, and most of the time I was in Shakespeare or period pieces.
And we only have a minute or so to talk about it, but what kinds of things are Rockers doing coming up?
Well, actually, when you mentioned Twelfth Night, I laughed because our November production is Illyria, which is a new musical version of Twelfth Night.
Ah.
So that was kind of funny. But our first production is Waiting for Godot, which is the second week of October, so we're excited about our season this year.
Yeah, a local comedian was once on the show, and he said, I'm waiting for them to do the sequel, still waiting for Godot. Well, let's pick it up from where we left off.
Well, this one, when Beckett had a chance to do his own production of the play, he sort of changed everyone's idea of the meaning of the play, and he cast all clowns. And it's actually a comedy that is also theater of the absurd.
Sure, yeah.
So it's quite funny.
Yeah, well, I always find that humorous. Shakespeare wrote for the upper class. He was often financed by the upper class, but made so much fun of the upper class while doing it. Did they not catch on, or did they just like that?
I think they just liked laughing. They always assumed he was writing about someone else.
But not necessarily always the case.
Right.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for being with us. Susan Proctor, who's directing the show, she's also the head of the theater department at Rockhurst University. She is directing the Alcott Arts Center Shakespeare in the Parking Lot production of Love, Labor's Lost. It's going to begin this September 12th, this Saturday, at 3:00 p.m. in the afternoon.
followed by a performance on Sunday the 13th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then a week will go by. They'll need the rest, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Saturday the 19th at 3 o'clock p.m. and conclude on Sunday the 20th at 3 o'clock p.m. all at the Alcott Arts Center, 180 South 18th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. If you MapQuest things, you need the zip code, and I have 66102 yes. for the zip code. The number to call for Alcott, 913-233-ARTS. And that translates to 2787, and of course online at alcottartscenter.org. Can't forget it. Just think of Little Women or many of the other stories by Louisa May Alcott, and Alcott will come to mind. Also want to thank Chris Green, the executive director of Alcott, and all they have going on over there. They usually have an artist for each event that they have there, no matter what it is. Even if it's not a play, a concert, something else.
Right, we do.
Always feature an artist. So those of you who are artists who would like to be featured, get a hold of them and show them what you've got. Yeah. Great. Great to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
The Jazz Insider is next. He's planning a great show out there. He was hard at work as I came in to do my show. So we'll have jazz from 1 to 3, followed by the blues from 3 to 6, all to relax, help you relax and get by on your Labor Day afternoon right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. And don't forget ArtSpeak Radio on Wednesday at noon. Maria will be back from her vacation. We would hear all about what she did. If she chased any bear, if the bear chased her, we would hear all about it coming up this Wednesday. So nice to have all of you with us. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoge. We'll see you next time.